To the end, actually, of our series this summer. We've been following along on a text, Searching for Happiness, and reading biblical texts that help us to ponder what does it mean in this life to truly have a purpose and to think about what is it for us that helps our hearts to feel content and helps us to truly live out what God has in store for us. So today's passage is coming from Paul's letter to those in Corinth. He's actually writing this from Ephesus after having been there to start this church in Corinth. And like many churches, they're having some issues. And so Paul is addressing those issues and wanting to give them some wisdom and some guidance. So as I read this passage to you, it may sound a little more like PG-13 movie. So I want you to keep in mind that the sermon will be a little bit more geared towards a G audience, for those of you who have children here today. It's a difficult thing for us to ponder all that our bodies do and say and eat and drink, and this is what Paul wants us to think about as we hear the words for us today. So open your minds, and especially don't be alarmed with the words that perhaps you don't always hear in church. More especially, listen for what God wants you to hear from these words, from the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we'll beginning at verse 11. And this is what some of you used to be, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, these words come to us directly from your heart, for you care about us and the decisions that we make, what we eat, what we drink, what we do, and how we care for ourselves. It matters to you as the one who created us. So in this time together, help us to reflect, to be inspired by the life that you call us to, a life worthy of bringing you all the praise and glory. In your precious name, amen. Back earlier this summer in our Barbecue and Blessings series, I told a story about a woman who was speaking to a group of young people. And she said to them, imagine that at 16 you went out to purchase your first car. You would certainly purchase this car with a lot of thought and planning. But the second thing to remember is this car that you're going to purchase at 16, it's the only car you're ever going to drive for your lifetime. The only car you're ever going to drive. How well will you take care of your car? You certainly would have regular maintenance You would be careful where you drove that car. You would do your utmost to take care of it in every way possible. So think about the parallel to the fact that we are given this one body by our Creator, that God gives us this opportunity, this freedom, really, to take care of ourselves and our life each and every day. Well, what often happens when we have freedom is that we push it to the limits, right? This happened in the early church. Paul was quick to teach those early believers about the grace that Brady and Laura just played and sang for us, that God's grace comes to us. But Paul wants us to also understand that it comes with a price. And so when we think about our bodies and what we do, what we eat and drink, the relations that we have, that it matters to this God that created us. As you read in that first verse 12, there was this sense of freedom. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. They could do what they wanted to do, but maybe if they did those things, for sure, it would not benefit them. And it would not benefit those around them. It matters how we conduct ourselves each and every day. Martin Luther wrote, "Whatever your heart clings to and confides in, that is really your God." Whatever your heart clings to and confides in, that is really your God. So let's be honest and truthful with ourselves. What is it that we cling to with our heart? Could it be our reputation, giving a lot of energy into what others think about us? How we dress, the color of our hair, our new shoes, or maybe in a broader perspective, our employment, or where we go when we retire. All of these things contribute into our opinion of ourselves. And we start with what the world thinks instead of what God thinks about us. And so we make these decisions based on a motive that really is not of Christ. And that's what Paul wants those early believers to understand. And for us too, to grasp this truth. What is it that forms the decisions that we make each and every day? We can do a lot of things, right? We have that freedom. But it isn't always the best thing for us to do. In the book, Thielen talks about the importance of stewardship of our bodies. In the church, we hear a lot about the stewardship of our resources, right? How we spend our time and our money. But it's important for us to think about this body that's created at the beginning for us. How do we take care of it? Do we understand how precious it is? Talking about weight management and exercise and diet and our intimate lives, it's not something that feels real comfortable, even for the preacher, right? Because it's a very personal thing. Part of parenting, right, is making sure that our children are eating a healthy diet. Every time you go to the pediatrician, you're not drinking soda, right? Not eating chips. And then as they become teenagers, they start talking to them about more adult topics. And it's hard for us to transition that into the life of the church. We don't want to sound too preachy. We don't want to sound too judgmental or bossy. But this is what the church needs to be. It needs to be a voice that's different from what we hear in the movies and on TV, where sex becomes something that's just between anybody. It doesn't matter. And we don't understand the consequences. It's an important thing to talk about. What are our standards for what we do with our bodies, for what we eat, how much we drink? Is it ironic that I'm preaching this sermon on Irish Fest weekend? It's difficult, right, to live with a sense of being responsible and being wise. This isn't just for the teenagers in the audience. It's for all of us. What addictions replace God in our heart? It's heavy and it's hard. Paul says to us, this is your body. It's a temple. Think about how much attention we give to our houses that give us a place to live, or our cars, some of us more than others. How much attention do we give to this body? If we could look at our bodies and our practice with them as a spiritual practice, how many times do you hear me preach, open your Bible, right? Read the devotions each day. Pray without ceasing. Give our finances and our time. Get into a small group, a journey group. Talk about your faith with others. All of those are spiritual practices. But how much time do we give to the practice of thinking about our bodies and the consequence of what happens if we don't take care of them? How much money is spent, right? Going to the doctor. All of the politics involved in healthcare. How much money we could save if we were more inclined to take care of ourselves. To maintain our physical bodies as a spiritual practice. That becomes for us so, so important. Those words that you were bought with a price, that Christ bled and died for us so that we could have this life abundant. When you have teenagers in your home, you think a lot about their driving skills, right? That sense of anxiety as they head out to a Highway 35 or 80, not just driving around Waterloo. And I remember my father teaching me how to drive. And I went blazing up the main street of our town, way over the speed limit. I was in a hurry, actually, to get to youth group. And when we pulled over, he said, you know, your life, it matters. Your life, it matters. So be careful how you drive, because it's not only you at stake, but it's those around you. When you think about what you're going to eat or how much time you're going to devote to exercise or your intimate life, do you think about how precious you are? It's a truth for each and every one of us. Activities that do not glorify God, they skew our perspective, our life. Paul ends this passage with asking that question. Does everything in our life, what we do with our bodies, does it bring glory to God? What a great discipline to ask that of yourself. When you're binge watching, right, on Netflix or movie after movie, is that really the best way to spend our time? Could it be better spent out in creation, taking a walk or a run? Figure out a way to appreciate this life and this body that God made. There's five steps that he encourages us to think about if this is especially hard for us, and I speak to you as one who struggles with this. To remember the positives of taking care of our bodies. When the alarm goes off in the morning and it's time to take that walk, and you think, oh, it'd be so much better just to stay here with my pillow. Think about the positive outcome of bringing that discipline into your life. Secondly, start small. If this is hard for you, just do things in small ways. Maybe it's coming to Westminster and walking around the Shared Life Center. If you don't want to be outside, go up and down the steps. You don't even have to pay for a membership at the gym. You can include your church as part of your exercise regimen. Thirdly, he encourages us to join others in this effort of eating better and exercising. Create a walking group, people that you can spend time with and exercise with. And fourthly, frame this as a spiritual issue for you. As much time, hopefully, as you give to thinking about being a disciple and what that means, and praying faithfully and giving your money, serving on a committee, can this be a spiritual issue for you as well? That your body is indeed a temple of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, he writes, just do it, right? Borrowing from that Nike slogan. Commit to it for 30 days and try and see how this leads to you feeling better about your life and your perspective. You'll be healthier. You'll be able to build this kingdom. E. Stanley Jones was a Methodist pastor and missionary. And he says, the question really for all of us in this life is, who am I? No matter if we're 5 or 50 or 85. He writes, I belong to Christ. You belong to Christ. We belong to each other. How we live this life, it doesn't just affect our own body, but it affects those around us. When we don't care for this temple that God created, there's a consequence. When we don't understand how important it is for sex to be what God intended it to be in a committed relationship, one for marriage, imagine that concept. Imagine so much less drama we would have. And if we could take care of ourselves, imagine God's kingdom here, and that we can be a part of that. It's a gift that God has given us. Don't ever lose sight of that gift. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for these bodies. Often we look in the mirror and we see everything that's wrong with them. But instead, God, help us to see ourselves as the beloved child that you created. The ways that are unique about us, and that we have DNA that's different, that we could celebrate that. Help us, God, to be strong, to be a model to others, to talk about it when we are failing, and to know that indeed your grace, it is abundant. So thank you for this gift of being your child and of being your church together. Amen.